4HX Mobile.
W4MKH.
Mr. Marshall, how are you doing this morning?
I'm better this morning. I still have my bad moments with the stupid cold. Didn't seem to get as cold at my house last night. How's it out there on the road now?
It's about 20 degrees out here at the moment.
It's 6 here at the house at the moment, so hopefully some of this stuff will get melted off today before it starts turning cold again.
Nice. Slick getting into the house last night.
Incline coming up the side of the mountain here to get to this place, and a couple of them where there was a lot of shade were pretty icy still yesterday.
That same thing where I'm at. It's fairly steep grade and got a couple sharp curves in it, and the whole thing is shaded with trees, so if it doesn't get any sun.
It broke loose yesterday on one curve coming in here. Partly my fault because I gunned a little bit to see how the snow was doing and see how the car handled in that.
Always got to be the kid, right?
It's true. That's how I learned to drive a long time ago on those dirt and gravel roads down there in Florida. Come around the curves, you do a little bit. And, you know, we had old beat-up cars back in those days, so it didn't really matter too much if you lost it a little bit.
Same here. Growing up in these mountains, we used to go four-wheeling pretty much every night. And so we was out tearing up something. And learning how to drive in this stuff. So it was all for naught, but our parents didn't think so at the time.
It's almost an every night occurrence. And being a cop, civilian, and military in the past, I've had some defensive driving courses. And I got my son into one of them down there where they take him out on a runway, an old airport down there in St. Johns County, and they spray the water down on the runway. And, you know, teach them to drive and handle skids and stuff like that.
I think BMW does that down there at the driving school they have. But I'm not sure. I've never been. Like I said, I learned to drive up here in these muddy, icy, slick cornfields and dirt roads and mountain roads, places you shouldn't even have a vehicle. And now I put all those skills to use here on the road.
Truck handle.
It will go in a straight line really well, but it doesn't like to turn.
Windy out there is kind of like a big sail, too.
Getting about that. The wind gets up over about 20 miles an hour, and you can tell it.
You were Highlander with all the goodies on it, and it's one of the things it's got is you get close to the line, it beeps at you and wants to pull you back. And coming back up here after Christmas, you know, it got really windy out there north of north and west of Columbia, and you know, the wind would blow me over towards the line, the car would jerk me back. Looked like I was drunk out there driving or something.
So how I feel about that stuff. I don't know. I've never owned anything with it on it, and honestly, never intend to. As a mechanic for years, I've seen things do stuff it's not supposed to when it's not supposed to, and I just don't trust it.
One of the best features, or two of the best features on that car when I bought it, because I knew I was going to move up here, are the heated steering wheel and the heated seats. Those things are nice. If you're on a trip, like back to Florida or something, the radar adaptive cruise control is pretty nice, too. I got a bad right knee from when I was in the Army, and it helps to be able to let the car just do the cruise control thing, and I can get my foot out, leg out from under the gas pedal some, and so I can move it around.
I've heard lots of people talk about how nice that adaptive cruise is, because it seems like nobody can maintain a steady speed anymore. So I see where that could come in handy.
But be careful with it. Otherwise, you'll find that, you know, you're moving along behind somebody, and you look down and see you're only doing, like, 60 miles an hour for 55 because, you know, it dapped it down for you, and you didn't realize it. Not confusing, but it can be very tricky like that.
The pond's still frozen over, so it never warmed up enough to thaw all of it out, and it froze back, so I wouldn't go walking on it, but it's frozen completely over.
That when we went to Boiling Springs on Monday, I guess it was, when we went down there. And then the bird bath out front out here has got frozen water in it. It's never thawed out completely.
Give me a minute. I'm at my steep curvy part here.
4 MKH on the side.
10-4 AZE.
2.
Then I had the shower and came down. Now I'm riding around in this recliner, waiting for the sun to come up. You guys doing good?
I'm in a chair in a warm house. I don't really know about Patrick. He's out there in this, some of this mess.
Going. We got that thing toastier than we are.
Your dad office seat seems to be.
Not on that, but I'd say he's probably warm in that vehicle.
Okay, we're
good morning, dude. And I'm getting warm. It's just now starting to get warm.
Close to here in a few minutes. They're coming out today. They didn't specify a time. I'm figuring they'll probably come kind of early, I guess. But they're coming out to start putting in the winders.
Maybe for some gaping holes in a house, right?
I didn't ask them how they're going to go about it. Surely they won't yank them all out. What do you reckon, one at a time?
No, but they did my father-in-law's a few months back, and they brought 3 or 4 crews in there, and they had a couple of them out at a time. But they didn't take them long to get it all done.
That may be how they do it. I know they said it'll be Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And actually, I think those are going to be 3 of our warmest days we'll have, you know, from what we've had and what we're going to have. I think we're supposed to do 50, right around 50, 52 these days.
I hadn't looked at the weather since yesterday morning, so it's probably changed. But it won't be just a minute, and I'll have to switch to the 285. And Marshall, if you got a radio that you can get to the VFO, that is 147-285, no tone. So you can just spin it over there, and you'll be right there with us. And you should be able to make it from your location.
I'll probably just stay right here, Patrick, and then look at getting that information into that repeater in later on today.
Sorry, but 610 gets in the shadow of Pinnacle Mountain up here, and I can't get it. There's a big black hole coming into Hendersonville in the lower, in the southern half of Hendersonville, the 610. If you want to stay here, you stay here in Tarpaulin Marshall. Ken will be in here in a few minutes, and I'm going to stop and get some fuel anyway this morning, so I'll be a minute out of the vehicle. So y'all continue on, and I'll monitor in the background as long as I can. KO4HX. Except
okay.
For now.
I thought I was down there talking to myself. Y'all still here?
Still here. Got to push the button on the side of the mic, man.
I was on 285. I thought y'all were going there. I just went, and I was waiting, but I didn't hear you. I said, well, maybe they stayed there.
Get over there, I think, and he's going to stop and get gas, too. I don't have it programmed into the radio, and I'm not sure how to get to the VFO on this mobile I'm using, so I got to experiment with that, and rather than experiment during drive time, I'll do it this afternoon sometime when nobody's on this repeater.
You sound like me. I don't know how to get to this one on this radio either.
That's so complicated. You figure it out once and you leave it there. Excuse me. And you don't have to deal with it for 6 months. You don't remember how to do it.
I don't know if I did it or if it came this way, but it's right next to, I just turn the knob, one click, and it's on 285. But no, I don't mess with it. It just stays right here. Now I can go to push a button, and I don't know what all frequencies scan. Scans a lot of them though. But and then when you hear somebody, they're in there for about 4 or 5 seconds, and it starts scanning again.
Get complicated here. It's an any tone 578 or something like that, 758. Anyway, it's a mobile, so driving down the road, you know, if you get out of range of one DMR repeater, it'll switch you to another and automatically. And it's also got APR or APS in that, whatever it is, ARPS, APRS. But I haven't got that set up. It doesn't make much sense when you're sitting in a shack and it's not going anywhere.
These things are smarter than I am too. I'm used to turning a VFO like in my shack. I got a different radio set. I know how to work those, but and then I've got one at the beach. It's a 7300. That was a little different, all touch. You know, it didn't have any knobs on it. N4AZE.
Yeah, I got an older Yaesu over there. It's packed away in a case in the closet right now. It's kind of like for mobile MCOM stuff. And that one I can get to the VFO real easy and go wherever I want and then just push a button. I'm back in the memories I got programmed in. This one is a little bit different. You got to write the code plug and then send the code plug to the radio. And so it gets a little more complicated.
Probably just get somebody on the radio here to walk you through what you need to do. Hey, somebody out there has got that same radio.
Maybe I'll go try to watch a video or Google it here. I just don't want to mess anything else up because it's working pretty good right now on the repeaters I've got in here. And I don't want to mess anything up.
Yeah, it's working. You don't want to do something and now you can't use it.
Radios, these SDRs I've got are kind of experimental. And you get in there, you screw everything up because so many things you can adjust and get one or two of them out of whack, and your radio is practically useless.
I got, when they went to 285, they told me where they're going to. I think I did program it in because I've got two of them side by side, 285s, and I don't know how I did that. I'm not going to dare try to remove one of them.
Got something else.
Thing, you know, of the 147 285s, and they're right beside this 610.
Wheat mobile. Here.
Morning, N4AZ80.
Morning, who else we got in here this morning? Marshall over here on the side.
Fuel.
8W mobile.
Kenny.
Morning, Ken. W2, JKT.
4MKH.
Good morning, guys. How's everybody doing?
Gonna get back on the highway after my breakfast stop.
Yeah. Now the driveway. Hey. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I had to say it down here. You're asking me, say, hey, man, Jeet yet?
Jeet's going down the road. His car drives by itself.
Finishing up my first cup of coffee.
Yeah, they said, G yet? I said, nah, G. The winders, they're going to start putting in a winders today. We're a Peller or something like that, maybe?
Probably about 10 years ago, we had Window World put them in, you know, and they said that it would really cut down on your power bill and everything, and it did. It cut mine in half.
In my house, about 300 plus a month.
Everything together, I think I'm on the equal plan, so everything together, that's water, gas, electric, and sewer is only like about 200.
Furnace for heating, I could get my monthly bill down to about 180 to 200, but I still have, it's still very drafty in there, so, it's an old house. I think my house was built in 72, Courtney's was built in 69. 1979. So they're both, they're both definitely in need of some insulation upgrades and windows.
Mine was built in '90s, and then here about 2 years ago, we had all the furnaces and the ACs redone, so that really helped out.
Dump channel. Did you, I don't know how it did. He must have bumped something, but I was just talking somewhere else.
Well, mine, I have it. I hear you guys talking and not pay attention what frequency you're on. I'll be on 285 just to talk.
Anyway, did I tell you, did y'all catch it? It is Wind the World.
That's who I put, who did mine. I had them do the back half 1 year and then the front half the next year.
They told me that it's lifetime, even for free, anything is transferable to the next owner, which that, I don't know who that might be, but, and if you break it yourself, they come fix it.
One has a serial number on it, and you just call them and tell them the serial number, and they'll bring it out, and the guy will install it. I've had 3 or 4 of them replaced it. They lost the gas in between the windows, and they come out and replace it.
Are they?
It's a couple of weeks because, you know, every house is different. All the frames aren't the same size and everything, so, but they can usually get pretty close pretty quick.
I didn't ask them how quick they get out there, but yeah, if they do it within a few weeks would be good. But I know these windows, I'm paying.
Yeah, when they get started, you'd be surprised how easy they pop out.
What type of weather did you have when they did yours? Weather you had, was it cold weather? I'm just wondering how many they'll do at a time.
Did it two different installs, one year, one the next year. I did half, like the back half 1 year on the north side, and then I did the south side the next year.
What's the average cost per window?
You know, I don't know. How long ago did you have yours done, Ken?
10 years, but I can't remember now. It probably cost me a couple hundred a window anyway.
It's more than that now. It's $25,000 to do, you know, they're doing all the windows. 17. Okay, my first house went for 17, and these are 25.
I've got, by count, I've probably got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I think I've got 10 or 12 windows in my house.
Dude, we had like 30-something. I think 30 or 32 windows. You got more than that, I bet you.
More than that. Let's see. Kitchen, one in that bathroom, two in that bedroom, two in the other bedroom, one in that bedroom, plate glass in the living room. I think that's it. And then one, two in the basement. Yeah, I think that's it.
It shouldn't be as high then.
$5 a window, I think, is probably going to be about right.
I don't remember what it was per year. They just gave us a one, you know, out-the-door everything, you know.
About 20 total windows, and I did them like 10 and 10. It was like maybe $2,500 each time I did it.
Past 10 years.
And the guy, putting the metal trim over the wood trim, and that, so they, I mean, they put the metal on there to protect the wood, and it looks just like the wood.
That knows how the windows and how simple they are, and the metal like that, yeah.
I can't stand vinyl windows. They're just, they feel and look really super cheap to me, so I just don't like them.
And are the vinyl, and that with the two panes of glass with the some kind of gas on the inside, but you'll know if the gas turns up missing because it'll start to fog up on, you know, one of the sides of that. But they come right out and replace it.
Replace. On us, really. We've got about time to change all that. And about time for a roof.
For ZLE, good morning, gentlemen.
QJKT.
Good morning, KN4TFW.
N4AZE.
W4MKH.
KQ4ZLS, firm Miss Anthony. Hope everybody's doing well this morning. But as usual, headed to work.
Got Marshall and myself.
And I'll have 5 days off starting this afternoon when I get off. So then I'll go back and do the rotation again.
He's off.
And then I usually have 6 off, but we're still coming off this holiday schedule, so it's kind of been mixed around a little bit. We do kind of a self-scheduling type thing. And I usually get what I request.
Up there.
Not bad at all, which I've learned too, been there long enough to learn what days not to schedule to work. The craziest days.
Young day.
As long as I've worked EMS and then working at the hospital up here, the full moon ain't really got much to do with it. These people would just get crazy just because, I think.
Had something to do with the people.
Some people just use that as an excuse.
Just in homes on the full moons, they get restless.
Send the patients out usually like on a Friday evening. Your weekend crews will start sending patients out so they don't have to deal with them on the weekend. They'll send them to the ER, make them wait in the stinking ER all weekend long.
Yep.
Call 911.
Keep it one of those places.
Myself, there's a few good ones, but a lot of them are just same here. I wouldn't want to be there.
No. Pull me in one. Yeah. Please don't stick me somewhere like some little nursing home out in somewhere like 6 Mile or something out in nowhere.
One, 2, I think that was on Lovin' Care Lane or something like that, I think it is. Which they may have a couple of them up there by that way now.
On there, I just was thinking a little town like that, don't stick me just away from where nobody, where everybody will forget me.
Now, or like for profit type deals now, but just, they ain't like they used to be, you know, that's for sure.
I'm walking the dead.
The same way. Either find me on the lake, in the woods, or on drag strip somewhere.
Drag racing, that'd be a good way to go out.
One of my passions, anyway. Work with NHRA. I work with several teams. I work with Tim Wilkerson, Blake Alexander, Chad Green. I work a little bit with John Force. Pretty cool. Bodies, clutches, fuel, different stuff.
Hey, is he?
Come back.
Look up on how he's doing. You know that bad wreck he had a while back.
I've to him, you know, since then. Okay, considering the injuries he's had. This is probably the worst head injury he had his whole career. He's had 2 or 3, and this one really rung his bell. So Jack Bettman's going to be driving a funny car again for him this season, which he's a good dude. Jack's cool as he can be. I've met, talked with him several times. But yeah, I mean, I got a feeling this is he's going to be on the sidelines permanently. I hate to say that because he's a cool dude. But I think that's what's going to happen.
An injury. I just didn't know how bad it was, if it was going to keep him out or if it was going to do him in. You know, they never really told us anything, but that's good to know he's going to be okay.
Quite for the most part, but I don't think NHRA will clear him to drive as far as that goes.
It was day anyway. He did good. N4A's Eddie.
He's always been a hoot to hang out with, and he's always treated me well when I've been around him. KQ4ZLE.
Seems like it's a little more traffic than usual today.
KQ2JKT. Home tomorrow and Friday.
I'll do that.
I go into the office. I've been thirsty today.
Next week after fueling up.
Yep.
Fill up a 55-gallon barrel of diesel, and man, that pump was so slow. It was unbelievable.
I got a 50-gallon tank in my pickup truck, and if I get a slow pump at the, it doesn't use the high flow at the truck stop. They just use the regular car size. So if one of those things is slow, it could take, 10 minutes to fill it up.
Yeah, guys. I figured that out back when the gas started skyrocketing. I just went any time. Once I got off a full down there, 3/4, if I passed my station, I'd stop in there and top it off.
We couldn't leave either the fire trucks or the ambulances below 3/4. I guess I still live by that. So if my car or vehicle gets near half a tank, I'm looking for gas.
Zach, I can't stand it if it gets down toward half a tank. Down on empty.
Low is when I go visit my folks in D.C. because I can make it from my house to D.C. and back on one tank. And diesel's so expensive up there, I'm glad I can make it there and back without having to fill it up.
Yeah.
Smells out of a tank if I treat it nice.
It is a Cessna 182.
Nah, there's no way you're getting 1,200 nautical miles out of a Cessna 182.
Miles.
Maybe.
Yeah, you're not going to go wide open, but yeah, they got a range was 11-something.
Shit like that. I mean, you got your minimums, but, the minimums aren't even enough, if you ask me.
No. You want the 45-minute reserve at night. Yeah, I like the 45-minute on any time. I still am. I just don't fly now. I got in the cars.
My private, but flying got too expensive for me. I could have flying, or I could have 10 other fun hobbies. I just elected to have 10 other fun hobbies.
Different hobbies. I'm going to fly again. The grandson's really getting interested in airplanes, so I'm probably going to wind up having to get another one. Being I live on an airstrip, it's easy.
There's a buddy of mine was selling his Aero a little while ago, and I very nearly bought it. And I sat down and did it. I'm like, I could afford this, but then I'd have to give up, all the other things that I like to spend money on, wine and travel and stuff. So it's like, I'll just skip it.
Airplane, it was just an Archer with retracts.
It had a more powerful engine, 200 horsepower instead of the 180. I trained on an Archer 3, and it had 180 horsepower, and fixed gear. But yeah, the Aero is 200 horsepower retract, and you cruise at 125, no problem with that thing.
A good little airplane. My next door neighbor's got a, he's got a Comanche. It's a pretty nice plane. It's a Indian his, or he might have got the 200. I'm not sure, but it's a nice little plane.
Comanche 260C, and I really wanted it. It had the wingtip tanks and everything, and I was like, I really wanted that airplane, but it was high, it's high on hours, and it was going to, be a TBO within a couple hundred hours, and I was like, I need to pass on this one, but I really, really, really wanted that airplane.
Which a TBO, you're limited.
Who pushes it past TBO? I know a lot of people do a compression check, and as long as the compression's good, they'll keep going. But yeah, I don't have that tolerance for risk in me.
As it is,
yeah.
Safer than driving a car. No, it ain't either. Said you're fine.
Many times I'd rather fly than drive on this, and I thought long and hard about, because I have an 86-mile drive to the office. I thought long and hard. I'm like, if I'm going to be in this career for the rest of it, I thought about getting my rotor wing endorsement and a cheap helicopter to fly to work with, but that also proved to be, beyond expensive, so I give that one too. Fun way to die.
I never have been in one. I've flown the RC ones, which are the RC aircraft and the real aircraft. I've done all of that, and they're still airplanes. You just can't. You're just not in it. It's actually a little more difficult to fly the RC than it is the real thing.
I know how easy it is to get a pilot certificate, because flying is really easy. The hardest part about flying is all the stuff that has nothing to do with flying the airplane.
It keeps them out of it. Navigation, meteorology, it's all numbers. It's just, it's 100% fly by numbers is what aviation is.
I'd rather rather fly IFR than VFR, because to me, flying IFR is easier. I guess it's the engineer in me.
I did a lot of IFR, but I didn't. Yeah, that's when you're going somewhere. I like the joyride, and you know VFR.
That's where I always filed, but yeah, I did do. You know, if I'm just doing pattern work, obviously I'm just going to fly VFR. But pattern work, yeah, that's good for VFR. But if I was ever going anywhere more than, you know, 100, 150 miles, I would always file.
You need to if you're going any distance at all, especially tracking.
Up in Philadelphia, so it was real busy airspace. You know, the airport I flew out of was right under the Bravo for Philadelphia, and if I was going up to say New York or something, I'd be flying through all the terminal patterns for you know, like Newark and LaGuardia and JFK and all that. So it was always you know, upstate New York was only about 150 miles. I'd fly into either Stewart or Kingston, and but you're flying through such busy airspace, I mean, you would be an idiot not to file.
You're going in that airspace, you better. Anyway, let somebody else have it. They're probably not interested in this stuff, Eric. N4A's 80.
WTJKT, right there with you.
You guys are good. KN4TFW.
Yeah, how do you know if there's a pilot at your party?
Trying to figure out how to turn this radio over to VFO mode.
Sorry, we doubled.
Sorry about that. W4MKH. I'm still trying to Google out how to convert this radio over to VFO mode.
What radio is it?
Anytone DM578, I think, is the number off of it. It's their mobile unit.
I heard that one.
Aren't they all pretty much about the same way to do something like that?
What about putting the ASU back in the shack next to it for a backup so I can switch from one to the other if I need it to fast enough?
I know some of the guys that talk HF, they got two or three amplifiers, two or three radios, and they just leave, they just switch from radio to radio. They don't have to tune.
Or when this radio comes in, which FedEx is supposed to deliver the last 2 days and didn't, now they're scheduled to deliver today, I'll have two HFs in the shack and a couple others as spares for HODA or MCOM. But, I don't know. I usually leave all of them off but one. I'm not one of these guys that has all the radios on.
It's one. What did you spend on gas?
For HGX? I didn't spend that much. $50, but it was waiting to get in.
What?
Pump.
Hit diesel, and there's a car parked at the diesel pump, at the one diesel pump getting gas when there's 10 other gas pumps open.
That was this morning, and they got to go in, and they got to fumble around, go to the bathroom, wander through the store, you know, go sightseeing while you're sitting out there waiting.
Anything, people who leave their car sitting at the gas pump after they fill up so they go inside and take out a mortgage.
When we stopped at a Bucky's and they were doing that.
Bathroom when somebody's trying to buy a house.
Charge you now if you go in to talk to a teller, so they want you to use the drive-thru, and so, you know, that's the reason for that.
Come in if you got anything lengthy. Long line there, Patrick.
The line is just one car. Like I said, though, they, I think they go in and, you know, do their whole morning routine in there in front of the mirror and everything else. I don't know what they're doing. Yep, that and the drive. Try to stop on Wednesday mornings. Is hoping there's not much people out, but this morning there was.
Kelly, yeah, I'm on Interstate 85 this morning again, and this traffic is like crazy out here. This morning, back in and out of lanes and everything else.
A lot busier today for some reason.
Yesterday, and they think all that ice melted off. It may have down here, but it still ain't up at the house.
Well, area. What's the old saying? If it lays more than 3 days, it's waiting on another one.
I'm trying to forecast it for next Wednesday, but Patrick probably hogged it all up on us.
I have every bit of it. I could care less to see another flake.
Shelby on Saturday.
for some up at the house this weekend again. But my house still looks just like it did Saturday morning.
Looking for some low temperatures down near zero for you guys up there.
That's supposed to be some of the coldest temperatures we've had yet.
Are the people still up there in tents?
They are. Now the big need is propane. So I took a donation of $2,000 up from Richard down here in Greer last week. So that's been the big expense now, is just finding propane and getting it to them.
Patrick, what format do you need the propane in? Do you need small tanks or do you need a big tank? Courtney works for an oil company that does propane, so I might be able to hook you up.
Check. I know they've just been filling tanks. They've been paying to fill tanks right now. So let me double check and see if they can, which way will be better for them, and I'll try to find out today, Eric.
Look into it to see if the Bumgarners might be willing to part with like a 3,000-gallon truck or something like that. But I know they rolled a 10,000-gallon tanker of gas out there along with some other things and some generators and stuff for, you know, right afterwards. But, you know, if you guys need propane badly, I might be able to, get that done for you.
See what I can find out. Sometimes they're hard to get a hold of because they're real busy. So I'll do what I can, but I appreciate it. KO4HK.
Anything we can do to try to help out is great. I know how much people are struggling out there. So it's just been a mess ever since it happened. So if we can figure it out, we will. And also let me is power still a problem out there? Or is everybody pretty much hooked up on power now?
No, there's still lots of people without power.
I'm full of generators out there before. I might let me look around the office and see if I can. I'll talk to the VP and see if he might be able to put together some more generators.
Hey, if you can get them put together, I can haul them.
Get that. I'm going through the black hole here at Woodruff, W2JKT.
There's off of propane.
Yes, whatever they can find.
Our generators run on propane without a kit, but what was that last one, Patrick?
If you got generators and I can come down and haul them, I can use their truck or I can bring my trailer.
I got to find out who's in charge of that kind of thing. I know there was one person that did the first run out there. I might look her up and see if we can do another one. I know we sent out tons of like chainsaws and demo tools and stuff like that and generators the first time, but see if I can score some more generators.
Come on, Patrick.
You got to work it and see. You never know.
Just sad to me that the news media has kind of forgotten about what's really going on up there. I've got family in Western North Carolina myself, and the news media ain't hardly reporting half of whatever it is. Granted, the fires out in Coastal California are bad, but it seems like those people have a whole lot more to pull from and rebuild from.
Isn't that funny how that works?
The problem in both of them is the government getting it out of the way.
FEMA is, I feel like, more in the way than they are helping.
I'm not necessarily talking about FEMA. I'm just talking about the local governments and the stupid things they do.
Governor,
there, dude, one out, and dude, I told you the people couldn't handle it.
Well, I think it'd be a good thing.
Plenty of busybody types out there.
Plenty of busybodies.
Check up here at the hospital. I hope everyone has a good day. Be safe out there, and we will holler at you guys later. KQ4ZLE clear.
Angie, good to hear you this morning. Have a great day and be safe out there. KO4HK. And guys, I'm pulling in to switch vehicles.
See you later, Anthony. N4AZ.
3AW2JKT.
73 Anthony, have a good one. KN4TFW.
Just a minute. KO4HK. Ken, you destinated yet?
Yeah. I'm getting ready to turn on the road. I'm going to say 7-3 to everybody. Everybody be safe out there, and that we'll catch you guys in the morning. KN4 TFW. I guess Eric will catch you on Monday, maybe.
Have a great day, guys. I'll be back in a minute. KO4 HKX.
73 Ken. Have a great day. Be safe. W2JKT.
Catch you later, N4AZE. Out there.
Now I'm having a hard time receiving the repeater. I need about 3 or 4 minutes to get through this shadow here down here at exit 44.
Hi, David, are you out there anywhere? Drinking coffee.
Dude, KN4 GTM.
4AZE.
In the background, listening in, yesterday I heard you talking about a Mustang. There was one on Marketplace, just a shell, for $250.
For $250?
Yeah, a 66 Mustang convertible.
Gonna be there long. I want the fastback, the little 2+2.
Find the fastbacks no more, unless you want to pay top dollar.
I'm not looking seriously. I'm just, if something comes, if I happen to run across one. I did look for a little while about a year ago, and I said, you know, I'm not going to keep this up. If I run across one, I'll, you know, do it that way. Typically, that's when you find something, when you're really not looking.
I ran across it yesterday, and you're the first person to come to mind. Heard you talk about it. So figure I'd bring it to your attention.
Very much for thinking of me. Who is this?
4 GTM. My name's Dean.
Oh, GTM. I don't think we've talked before, have we?
We have not. I know Patrick pretty well. He's good friends with my father, NC9V.
Thanks for that. Yeah, it's just been the family. Even, I mean, I like the convertibles and the other ones, but if I'm going to do one, I want to do the fastback, you know.
What's the only way I'd go with one? My uncle calls them the girl's Mustang. You know, just the regular old two doors.
Yeah, I reckon so. I know the Corvettes were like that when they came into the 80s, 84 and up. They call them the ladies' Corvettes. But yeah, I like those little. When I got done, if I got one and got done with it, they rode in it. They wouldn't call it a girl's Mustang.
You there?
Gotta love hot rods.
Hot rod lover myself. Don't get much time or have the finances to do anything, but I love them. I got a '69 El Camino sitting in my garage right now.
Cool. The 69s were cool.
Small block car, but it runs about like a big block.
Big blocks back in the 60s, that was a thing, but and then I stopped and worked for a long time, and then when I started back, I went with the small blocks. They're a lot easier to deal with, too, and you can build some good power out of them.
Oh, yeah.
400 small blocks and stroking them, and they almost have, they just, the heads, you can't get the heads like they do on these LSs and things now.
The Vortec heads is probably about the best thing you can get for the small blocks, unless you wanted to go aluminum.
Those were good heads. Those were, what were the 80s and 90s heads? Good. I have been getting on most of them aluminum heads. You know, there's still, you know, a couple of them are 208s, but for the most part, they're 202, 1600s. And they, you know, a big block, they had some big valves in them, just stock, you know.
Everybody liked the 400s. They were running very similar heads to the big block.
All that. Yeah, I've got three or four of those 400s. And they're torquey feeling, you know. but they're still lightweight.
Phone them 400s if you can, because, boy, they're hard to find now.
What, 70 to 74, right in there is about it for the 400s, wasn't it?
I don't know the years. I was born in the 80s, so I was just raised up in the old ways of things.
Which means I was born in the 50s, so that put me in the 60s hot rodding.
Days.
The 60s, everything you saw on the road, other than grandparents, it was a hot rod.
Wish I could have seen it.
Could go back like they are today, and they were good.
Thing is, those cars will outrun anything we got on the roads now, and they will definitely outlive them. I'll step to the side. Just wanted to reach out and let you know that little bit of information. KN4 GTM, be on the side.
Thanks for doing that, Dean. Yeah, I didn't, you never know who's listening out there, but I just kind of jumped in with these guys a few months ago. They kind of took me in as a stray, so a good group of guys here. Jump in here and hang out in the mornings.
Yeah, I always listen in. I got a radio here in my work truck, so I ride around all day listening to you.
Patrick, you back?
Good morning, Dean. Good to hear you.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm making a pit stop, though, so I'll be back in a few minutes. Hope they can.
4HX. Dean, where are you working at today?
To Malden and then Roebuck.
They're into the county for me.
Always seems to. All I do is ride around in circles all day, every day.
Somebody can answer. I've got a package that was, I forgot where it came from, somewhere Midwest. But on the tracking, it showed it the 12th. It was in Easley, the facility in Easley. Roebuck. So this is now, what, the 15th? It works. It was already here in Easley, and now it goes to Roebuck and before it comes back here.
That worked.
And it said out, it was going to be out for delivery that day, and I said, okay, well, that's cool. And then I looked again. I said, at the end of the day, and I said, well, where is it? I looked, and I said, it's in Roe. It's heading toward Roebuck. Saturday. That's out. Up in California.
Where to put it out?
Where Canada sent, was it 60 fire trucks to help them with the fire, and they turned them down because the trucks didn't pass the California emissions.
I'm a blurb about it, but I hadn't looked to see if it was true or not, but that goes back to what I was saying earlier, and the government and their regulations are getting in the way. It's just to the point where it's stupid.
Well, it said they held up 60 fire trucks for emissions regulations. They won't let them put out the fires.
My tool truck out there.
But out there, isn't it?
W2JKT, I'm back, guys.
And 4A's Eddie. The California turned down 60 fire trucks from Canada because they wouldn't pass the emissions.
To believe, I think they've waived most of those for firefighting operations. In fact, I think those regulations don't apply to government vehicles anyway. It protects itself from the law all the time.
They need to burn. Government.
I don't believe everything. I don't believe anything I read on the internet at first. I got to find it from several different sources before I'll even pretend to believe it.
Yeah, roger that one.
W4DJW, I just fact-checked that, and that is a lie. So wherever source you use to get that information is lying to you. W4DJW.
And that's great. I know we can always count on you for some good fact-checking. W2JKT.
All right, well, that's good. It was a lie. like that was real.
4MKH.
Dave, and go ahead, Marshal. KO4HKX.
Well, Fox News was reporting those fire trucks were from Oregon. They sent like 60-something down there, and they were held up for cause of emissions, not Canada. So maybe it's not quite a lie.
We'll find out eventually.
That has been fact-checked as well, and that is a lie as well.
Fact-checkers.
Fact-checking on that, but it does sound reasonable that that's something that they would do. I mean, they are screwed up out there.
If you're a regular Fox watcher, then that would be correct.
Not anymore, because it's all fake.
News on it.
How much integrity has been lost in the media over the last couple of decades? Like, you know, I remember, you know, when I was a kid, you know, you can count on the news being at least somewhat accurate, but now it's like report first, fact check later.
What you see, right? But then your eyes are lying to you.
Scum shake hands with a president that had been dead for 30 years.
Good morning, Eric. I'm going back to my working, but just heard that in there, and I just, when you hear a blatant lie, you just got to jump in and say something about it. W4DJW, going back to my work.
Good day. Definitely always appreciate some intellectual honesty, because we don't get it from very many places anymore. So have a great day, 73 W2JKT.
Catch you later. You guys have a good day and be safe. W4DJW.
W3W4MKH.
Up the hill for the red light there, 414, coming up on Old White Horse on 25 intersection.
Yeah.
Further to go.
Miles to go, and I'm definitely losing the repeater now. So I'm going to go ahead and say 73 to you guys, and hope you guys have a great day. Maybe I'll catch a few of you on my way home this afternoon. So W2JKT 73, I'll be clear on your final.
Good day this morning, and be careful if I don't talk to you. KO4HKX.
4AZE.
W4MKH.
Heard Donald Trump got elected president.
I heard that, but I don't think he's made it yet.
But open inauguration.
I think it'd be easier to buy another 2-meter radio than try to get this Anytone to switch over to VFO mode. I am confused.
Well, Marshall, I have the Anytone 878, and I love the radios, but programming them, it can be a chore sometimes. And the complexity of the operations, because you got short press, long press, and then you got double press for each keys. I mean, it can be quite confusing on what you got to do.
An 878-2, and this is the 578. And, you know, half the stuff I'm finding out there either doesn't seem to work or don't have the button on my radio they say I'm supposed to have. So I think it's easier just to put up another radio in here for when you guys go over to the 285.
You don't have to do that, but the problem with looking it up on the internet for me is the search is too vague because it pulls information for other radios, and then you got to verify that you're actually on your radio and not the 778. You got to make sure you're on the 578. And it's just, I hate it when it does that. If I put in that I want this, and that's it.
About to be, or my career was software development, and a lot of times stuff you found on the internet, you find the search and have result was exactly what I need to do and how to do it. I go over to it and find out, you know, it's outdated. It's the old version of the SDK and, you know, old code. I found someone there from Microsoft once that was 30 days old. It didn't work anymore because they made some other changes. So the problem with the internet is it's, you can't get just the new stuff. You got to get everything from day one.
Yep, and it's how much somebody paid to be the top ad there.
6 or 7 year old, they could go right through it.
I'm probably correct. They can do anything.
Always ask the wife, don't they know everything?